Good morning, Cedars Camps. So this week, Carrie and I have been talking about spirit. Spirit is that wind, that breath, that inspiration that is eternal. It has substance, it has continuity. It's always moving, uplifting, imparting. We have that great example, that visual of the wind blowing hair. You can't see the wind, but you know its effect by how it's blowing. And as we're talking about spirit being this infinite, ever-present, yesterday we had some ideas about whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning or dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. That's all about the ever presence of spirit, which we can never, ever go beyond. But as we're thinking about spirit, it's useful to also think about spirit's opposite. So what is not spirit? If spirit is ever present, there isn't actually something that is not spirit, but we have to have a word to talk about it. And so in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, Mary Baker Eddy uses the word matter. What is matter? So matter's not, it's not enough to just say this stuff, you know, is matter. That's not enough, because it's not like I'm gonna sit here and say that this table doesn't exist. The table's right here. I'm not gonna sit here and say that this stage doesn't exist. I'm standing on it. What, am I gonna fall through it? But what we seem to see as matter, as having the substance underneath me, is just a dim, distorted view of all that is. So let's look at the stage as an example, and hopefully I won't fall through it. The stage is made out of wood. And a wood comes from a tree. And a tree grows from a, which comes from a tree, which comes from a, which comes from a, which comes from a. We could go back and back and back and back forever and ever and ever. We've got a tree comes from a seed, and a seed comes from a tree, and a tree comes from a seed, and a seed comes from a tree. Where did the first spark of life that originated, tree or seed, come from? It's the chicken and egg question. Which came first, a chicken or an egg? Mary Baker Eddy talks about the poultry or the ovum. Yeah, and she was trying to be funny there. So which came first, the tree or the seed? Well, natural scientists, biologists, botanists, they explore this question and they do not have an answer. And this is one of the things, these are kind of one of the pillars, one of the central things that keeps me questioning. I believe that there never will be a natural science biological explanation for the very first spark of life. In fact, there never was a first moment of life. There never was a first moment. There never was a moment when we just had a void and then all of a sudden, poof, oh, there's life. That moment never happened. There never was a beginning. So when I'm sitting here or standing here on the stage, I'm looking at the stage and I can see it, and yet it is just a dim, distorted, limited view of all that it is. We all there? Okay. Now, that's just the stage. What about when I look out at each one of you? If we can do that exercise with a stage, imagine what we can do with the dynamic, vibrant expression that is us. Man has no beginning. Woman has no beginning. There was no first moment of life. We may have seemed to have a birth, and yet natural scientists, medical scientists, biologists cannot explain that first so-called moment of life. They call it the miracle of birth or the miracle of life. They can't explain the origin of mind, the origin of life, the origin of awareness, consciousness, both in us and in the universe. So as we're looking at one another, we may seem to see body, arms, legs, flesh, hair, whatever, but there is so much more there. It's just a dim, distorted view of all that there is. So when we want to truly love someone, we're looking beyond the outward appearance of things and looking deep into reality to see the whole of that individual, the whole of man, the whole of woman, to look beyond matter, to look beyond the limited view, to see the whole of it. As we're able to do that, to look beyond body, to look beyond a limited ability to think, to look beyond personality, to see the whole, that is what pure love is. As we're able to do that, as we're able to see the whole picture, that love is the love that heals. So the love that heals isn't like, I love raspberries. That's not gonna heal. The love that heals isn't, hey, so-and-so has a great singing voice and I love her, and so that's not the kind of love that's gonna heal. The transformative love that heals is this third degree love, this high degree love, about seeing beyond limitation, beyond the outward appearance of things. And to symbolize this, I have an illustration. Is Larry Patterson here to help? Oh, there he is. Larry's gonna help me out with this one. So we all know about beautiful rainbows. I have seen some amazing rainbows this summer, double rainbows right at the time of testimony meeting, or coming home from a hymn sing and there'll be a rainbow over the lodge, just beautiful rainbows. And rainbows, as we know from the story of Noah's Ark and other ways that they're used, are a symbol of promise, the promise of something more. So first of all, with rainbows, they seem to be two-dimensional, right? That we see a rainbow, but they're actually three-dimensional. They go back into space, right? They're three-dimensional. We see them because we're always painting them and so forth, that we think they're just 2D, but they're actually 3D. There's depth to them. Those drops of rain that are reflecting go back. But there's even more to rainbows. Even though it may seem as if there's a start and a stop, you could say a birth and a death, to a rainbow, in truth, the rainbow is a circle. All rainbows are actually circles. But we can't see it from our current vantage. We can't see it from where we're sitting looking up at a rainbow. So to see the full view of a rainbow, you could take a helicopter ride up high and look down at it, or climb a mountain and look down at it, to get the full view of it. So we have the limited view, and we have the unlimited view. And to connect these to the ideas of spirit and matter, we have the material view, the limited, distorted view, and we have the spiritual, or unlimited view. When we're able to know, even when the cloud is covering it, so if Larry, even if it's covered, we still know there's a circle underneath. So even when something seems icky, not that a cloud is too icky, I don't want to pick on the cloud, which used to be a pillow. Even if the cloud seems dark and dreary, even if it seems to interrupt our view of spirit, we can know scientifically that that rainbow is actually a circle. Because optically, the rainbow can't form unless it's a full reflection. So we're not going to let a bunch of clouds cover our view and make us know. We're going to know that we can look beyond the fading, finite form of a cloud to see the whole view of what we are. So if you walked up to someone and they seemed disturbed and everything, you could say, oh, that's just a cloudy thought. But I'm going to look beyond that. I'm going to love that person so completely that I'm going to see the whole view of them. So I'm going to use that idea, and I'm going to read through something that we say at the end of Sunday school and in Christian Science churches, and something that's said in the end of church services in Christian Science. I'm going to use the scientific statement of being, and Larry's going to help me by illustrating it with this idea of the cloud and the rainbow. And this is just one way that can help us understand this, but to think more deeply about what is matter. Matter is just a limited view. So when I read the scientific Sorry, it's a big book. I got it now. When I read the scientific statement of being, the scientific statement of what we are, I'm going to substitute in the word limited for the word matter. And you guys can do that. If there's a word that needs more clarification for you or more definition, feel free to define it yourself. Your books, you're actually allowed to write in your books. I don't know if they'll, with not crayons. okay, so on page 468, Mary Baker Eddy asks the question, what is the scientific statement of being? What is the scientific statement of what we are? And she says, there is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. I forgot to substitute in limited. I'm going to start over. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in a limited view of what we are. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God, spirit, is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. A limited view is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. A limited view is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man, all of us, are his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not limited, he is unlimited. Thank you, Larry. And already our clouds are falling away. That's great. So that's true about each one of you, that you are whole and complete, and no cloud can ruin or interrupt or distort the true view that you are unlimited. You are spiritual. We don't need to spend a whole lot of time wondering where the clouds come from. Instead, we can know the whole truth cannot be interrupted. And that is spirit. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.